Remember that old game, 20 questions? Biologists say some of us aren't exactly sure if a coral is an animal, plant, or mineral.
Now, a lot of people think they're rocks, for example. If folks don't know that corals are living animals, then obviously it's much harder to understand what is threatening these corals and what we need to do to save them. My name is Ileana Balms. I'm an associate professor of biology at the Pennsylvania State University. I study how corals live and how they respond to changes in their environment.
Imagine a jellyfish turned upside down and connected to a piece of rock.
And there's thousands and thousands right next to each other in one colony. The individual coral animal is actually a polyp.
Some of them are about the same size as the head of a pen. My name is John Parkinson. I'm a graduate student in Ileana Balms' lab. I'm a coral reef ecologist and molecular biologist. Within a surface area of about a couple centimeters, you'll find 5 to 10 polyps.
And everything underneath it, the hard skeleton, it's just like our bones, you know, it's not a living animal. It's just that top layer of the coral colony that's alive. In my lab, we visit corals really all over the world, Christmas Islands and the Eastern Pacific, Galapagos, Cocos Islands, Ecuador, Costa Rica.
I get to dive for my job every day.
Curaçao in the Southern Caribbean.
I get paid to do what other people do on vacation.
Back at Penn State, the scientists keep their corals under lock and key.
So I would say that keeping a 100-gallon aquarium is way harder than having 5 dogs. I'm Allison Lewis. I work closely with John. We both study the algae that live inside corals. They're like pets, yeah. I mean, you're controlling every little piece of their life.
The salt content of the water needs to be adjusted. The lights need to be on.
Oh yeah, you don't get days off, so we hire undergraduates to come in here on Christmas and take care of our animals.
That whole ecosystem, you know, takes a fine balance and a lot of work.
Balms and her team are concerned about how corals are adjusting to climate change. So the scientists do experiments to test the animal's cell-level response to different conditions. They'd also like to better understand what corals have lived through so far.
They don't show any outward signs of aging. Like, they don't get gray beards, you know, they don't stoop, they don't have worn out teeth.
And since we don't really know by looking at a coral how old it is, we can actually look instead at its DNA and try to figure it out that way.
Just a scrape really is enough. And you bring that back here in the lab and we extract the DNA out of that little piece of tissue.
We need to freeze the sample in order to break it apart. We've got liquid nitrogen. I'm going to be pouring it directly onto the tissue. And then grinding it with a mortar and pestle.
It turns out that there is something like a clock inside coral cells. And it is the rate at which the DNA in our cells actually accumulates mistakes.
This is very preliminary data. We're not entirely sure yet, but right now it looks like one of the oldest colonies that we work with in the Florida Keys is about 4,000 years old.
That's good news to some degree because it means that these are true survivors. They've been through a lot.
Some of that amazing longevity may come from the relationship that corals have with another species.
The reason why corals are colorful are actually mostly their partners, the symbiotic algae that live inside their tissues. The algae, because it is photosynthesizing, that results in food for the coral host.
It's like candy that helps them get through, you know, the rest of the work of actually growing large and strong.
Water temperatures are on the rise, and this partnership between the coral and its symbiotic algae is actually very sensitive.
So under stress and high temperatures, the algae start to produce extra oxygen, which can be toxic to the corals.
And when that partnership breaks down is when the coral show their true color.
Corals become bone white. So that's the process of bleaching. And that's what we're trying to understand. And we're not entirely sure who kicks who out, if the algae decide I'm fed up and I'm leaving, or if the corals say this hurts, I'm getting rid of you. And that poor coral is left sort of naked and hungry by itself. Corals can be mounding, they can be boulder colonies, they can be massive colonies, they can be folios. Folios means that they're like lettuce.
Acropora palmata, Orbicella flaviolata, Parietes lobata, Parietes asteroides. Corals are the trees of the ocean. Fish take shelter in corals, and lobsters live there, and octopus, and ecosystem engineers is what we call them, because they protect our coastlines from high waves, such as during hurricanes or during storms.
They're definitely worth keeping around if we can.
If the corals cannot adapt or acclimatize to these increases in water temperatures, we are worried that we will lose these species that built coral reefs. Meandrina meandritis, Dendrogyra cylindris, Leucathis glabrima, Aptasia pallida.